You would open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, reading verses 1 through 3. Can be found on page 97 of the Pew Bible. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. This is the word of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregations of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God.'" This is the word of the Lord. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. God calls you to holiness. God has saved you for holiness. God has saved you as a people set apart, to show forth his grace, to reflect his glory. The hope of Leviticus is a holy God dwelling in the midst of a holy people. But the people in Leviticus are a sinful people. And you are a sinful people. And so Leviticus concerns how a sinful people may approach God through sacrifice, through the shedding of blood, for the forgiveness of your sins, and for your acceptance by God. And Leviticus concerns also how a sinful people may dwell with God by becoming holy. By becoming holy as he is holy, by becoming like him. You cannot have Christ for forgiveness, but not for holiness. You cannot have Christ for justification, but not for sanctification. By faith in Christ, you receive the whole Christ. You are not only forgiven in him because of his blood, you are not only accepted in him because of his righteousness, but you are also made holy in him by the power of his Spirit. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. This is a command, and it is a promise. You will be holy. It is the work of God in you. You are holy in Christ. And so you must be holy. You must pursue it. You must strive after it. You must seek it with all your heart. because it is yours in Christ. And so just as the whole of Christ is given to you, so also the whole of Leviticus was written for you. Just as the whole of Christ is given to you, including His holiness, so also the whole of Leviticus was written for you, including what it says about holiness. So that you, His people, may know not only how you are to approach God, but that you may also know how you are to dwell with God, how you are to be holy as He is holy. And it is very clear in Leviticus that the holiness of God's people is reflected in their keeping His commands. The holiness of God's people is reflected in their keeping His commands. Your holiness is reflected in your keeping God's commands. Leviticus chapter 19 begins with the general command to be holy. And then it is followed by specific ways of how you are to be holy. It begins with the command to be holy, and then it is followed by specific ways of how you are to be holy. Last Lord's Day, we considered the first of those. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. And this Lord's Day, we are considering the one which follows it. You shall keep my Sabbaths. Now, these commands are to be read together. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord. And this verse 3, it parallels verse 30. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 30. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. In verse 3, we have, you shall fear your mother and your father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord. And in verse 30, we have, you shall keep my Sabbaths and fear my sanctuary. I am the Lord. In both verses, the Lord declares who He is. In both verses, He commands the keeping of His Sabbaths. And in both verses, He commands something to be feared. Something to be treated with reverence. In verse 3, it is one's mother and father. And in verse 30, it is his sanctuary, the holy places of the tabernacle. And in Leviticus, other than the Lord Himself, these are the only objects of fear. One's mother and father, and the Lord's dwelling place. In Leviticus, you are commanded to fear the Lord. You are commanded to fear your mother and your father. And you are commanded to fear the Lord's dwelling place. The relationship of a mother and father to the tabernacle, as we have seen, it is not incidental. As we considered last Lord's Day, the command in Leviticus to fear your mother and your father, it is different from the command in Exodus and Deuteronomy to honor your father and your mother. Not in their meaning, but in the form. In Leviticus, the verb used is the verb to fear, rather than the verb to honor. And in Leviticus, the mother is put before the father. And these differences, they invite us to pay attention, to take note. And when we do, we find that you are to fear your mother and your father, just as you are to fear God's dwelling place with his people. And then we begin to suspect why the mother is here put before the father. Not simply because a mother is entitled to the same honor of the father, not only because she is equally worthy of that honor and respect, but because in Leviticus chapters 15 and 16, the woman is shown to be the embodiment of the tabernacle. Just as a man could not approach or enter a woman in her uncleanness until after the flow of her blood had ceased, so also the priest could not approach or enter the sanctuary in uncleanness until after the shedding of blood had ceased. The drama of sexual relations, it was to reflect the drama of the tabernacle. Just as the union and communion of a husband and wife is to reflect the union and communion of God and his people. And so likewise, the womb of the woman, the womb of a mother, it was a reflection of the most holy place of the tabernacle, the womb, as it were, of the tabernacle, the innermost part. And in the drama of sex, when a man enters a woman and the Lord opens the womb, what is the result but life in the womb? The hope of sex is life. So also the tabernacle, and the drama of the tabernacle, the priest enters the sanctuary and the Lord opens the way into the most holy place of his presence, that there his people might have life in his presence. The hope of the tabernacle was life. Life begins in the womb of the woman, and the hope of life ending in the sanctuary of God. The life of Christ, it began in the womb of his mother. And where does it end? It ends in the sanctuary of God, in the presence of his Father. Life begins in the presence of one's mother and father, in the hope of life ending in the presence of the Lord and his people. The hope is not only life in the presence of the Lord, the hope is also life in the presence of his people. You cannot have life in the presence of God without life in the presence of the people of God. You cannot love Christ and hate the church any more than you can love God and hate your mother and your father. The command to revere your mother and your father and to keep the Lord's Sabbaths assures us of this. You cannot love Christ but hate the church, his body, his bride. You cannot love God but hate your mother and your father. The one who does not honor his father, the one who does not honor his mother, will not live long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. It is the one who honors his father and his mother who lives long in that land. Life in the family is a reflection of life in the church. You are born as an individual, but not as a mere individual. You are born into a family. You were created for fellowship. And you have been saved for fellowship. For fellowship with God and for fellowship with one another. You cannot enter into this life without others. You cannot enter into this life apart from the presence of others. And the command to honor your father and your mother reminds you of this. And just as you cannot enter into this life without others, so you cannot enter into the life to come without others. The command to keep the Sabbath reminds you of that. You were created for fellowship. You have been saved for fellowship. For fellowship with God and for fellowship with one another. You are born into the household of your mother and your father. And you are born again into a greater household, into the household of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, in Christ being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You have been created, you have been saved for life together. You cannot love God and hate your mother and your father. You cannot love Christ and hate your brother. But what does that have to do with keeping the Sabbath? The Sabbath is a day of rest. A day of rest from worldly labor. But it is not only rest from something. It is also rest for something. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. It is not a day for resting in one's house, not primarily. It is a day for resting in the Lord's house. It is a day for gathering together. It is a day for worshiping the Lord together. It is a day for fellowship with the Lord. And it is a day for fellowship with one another. It is a day to enjoy in this world what you will perfectly enjoy in the world to come. It is why we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." This means do not neglect meeting together for worship. But it also means do not neglect one another. Do not neglect your family. Do not neglect the household of God. The Sabbath reminds you that your time is not your own. The Sabbath day is the Lord's. It is His Sabbath. It is His day. It belongs to Him. Your time is not your own. You are to submit your time to the Lord. You are to submit your time to Him. Consider Christ. Consider His life upon the earth. Consider the way He used His time. One who perfectly kept God's Sabbaths. One who perfectly submitted His time to the will of the Lord. Certainly He spent time alone. He spent time in solitude. But for the purpose of prayer. Time spent in the presence of His Father. But most often we see Him in the presence of others. In the presence of His family. In the presence of His disciples. In the presence of strangers. He was not only one who showed hospitality. But He was also willing to receive hospitality. An act of humility. His time did not belong to him. He did not use it for himself. He used it for others. He was willing to be received in the house of those who opposed him. He was willing to be received in the house of persons of ill repute. He submitted his time to the Lord. And he gave his time to others. And you who belong to him, you are called to submit your time to him, to give your time to the Lord, and to give your time to others. This is part of your being conformed to the humility of Christ. Of considering others more significant than yourself. Why is the church called to visit widows? Why is the church called to visit orphans? Because it is not good for man to be alone. Consider others more significant than yourself by giving to them your time. By considering your time to be theirs. By serving them. By showing them hospitality. But also by accepting their hospitality. By letting go of your schedule for another's. By being willing to receive them into your house. But also by being willing to be received into theirs. You cannot serve one another if you do not give your time to one another. You cannot love one another if you do not spend time with one another. The Sabbath day, it calls you to die to yourselves. And to give up your time. To give it to the Lord. And to give it to one another. The Sabbath day. It's a day of rest. The Sabbath day is a day of holy convocation. A day for gathering together in the presence of the Lord. stay belongs to Him. This time belongs to Him. But He gives it to you. He gives it to you. He uses His time not for His own benefit, but for yours. He invites you into His house. To sit at His table. To receive His love. To enjoy His presence. To enjoy union and communion with Him and with one another. Redeem the time. Keep His Sabbaths. Receive His hospitality. He gives His time to you. Give your time to Him. Give your time to one another. Be holy as the Lord your God is holy. Amen. Let us pray.